time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. You're listening to our summer edition of Abandoned Manitoba, where we are taking history and geography and our love of the province and taking it all together. Gordon Goldsborough is here to share more. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So remind us of our new kind of take on Abandoned Manitoba for the summer months.
Well, I thought because this is the time when people want to enjoy and get outdoors and see the province, but also maybe go to some of the various summer festivals, I thought, why don't we go to the various summer festivals and then tell them a little bit more about the places around that area so if they're interested, they can kind of venture forth and see some of the other lesser known places along their way.
Well, such a great idea for those of us who want to get out and explore the province, and these are kind of very handy day trips or maybe a weekend trip. Where are we going today?
Well, this coming Thursday, for example, will begin the four-day Manitoba Threshermen's Reunion and Stampede, an event where basically they recreate agriculture from the last century. You know, you can go and you can see them use old steam engines. You can see them use threshing machines. You know, you can feel like you're really thrown back 100 years by the old Threshermen's Reunion.
So where is this happening?
It's in the area just south of Austin. It's at the Manitoba Agricultural Museum. So from Winnipeg here, for example, it's about an hour 15-minute drive right along the Trans-Canada. You get to Austin, you turn south 2 miles, and there you are. So if you go to the museum for the Threshermen's Reunion, there's a few other things you can see along the way.
All right, so where do we start today?
Well, maybe we should just say a little bit about the museum itself. People often have the view that it's just the reunion. You go and you see all the splendor, and then it's done. Everything just disappears. But in fact, there's a wonderful museum there that has what I think is one of the best pioneer villages in the province. You know, you can walk down the main street. Well, in fact, one of the things that makes it so different is that unlike a lot of the other ones that are all crammed together so that it doesn't really look real. I mean, no village crams all the buildings together. This one is laid out like a little town, and you can wander down the main street and you can see the general store, you can see the church, you can see, you know, 20 buildings, many of them really remarkably old. The second oldest grain elevator in Manitoba, for example. If you've never seen how a grain elevator works, you can go and see one of the oldest ones in the province and they'll demonstrate how it works.
So that's the museum. What else is on the list?
Okay, so if you go a little further away from them. So, for example, here in Winnipeg, we have a lot of buildings made from bricks. About 15 miles northwest of Austin, we have the remains, and again, we're on an abandoned theme, the abandoned brickworks at Edrans. Back in the early 20th century, it started in the early 1920s and carried on till around the time of the Second World War, making bricks. And for example, many of the bricks at the University of Manitoba campus down in Fort Garry are made with bricks from Edrans. But now, today, if you go there, you can see a few of the remnants. There's some concrete pads, there's some bricks laying around and stuff, but the brickworks itself is gone, so it is abandoned.
From bricks to concrete. There's another related item on this list.
Listeners may recall my fascination with concrete blocks. You know, it's a locally made technology. You can just combine the raw materials, the cement, the gravel, the sand, the water, make your own concrete blocks, make your own building. And in fact, Austin, the area around Austin is, I think, one of the centers of concrete block buildings. And you know, you can see houses, you can see barns, you can see granaries, a whole host of buildings. And it's largely thanks to one fellow, a fellow named Frank Thompson. And he must have been a big advocate for the technology. Interestingly enough, though, it was only for about 10 years, from 1904 to about 1914. That was sort of the golden age of concrete blocks.
Why? Why just 10 years?
Well, the First World War started in 1914, and that may have sort of put the kibosh on the labor market for building these blocks. But I think there's also some inherent limitations. People who've lived in concrete block buildings tell me they tend to be a little hot in the summertime and a little cold in the wintertime, so maybe that has something to do with it. But whatever the case, these concrete block buildings are fairly rare, but there's a really high abundance of them in the vicinity, not just in Austin itself. There's several in Austin, but several in the surrounding area. There's the old Nelson House, for example, that is quite a nice two-story concrete block building. But the one I want to refer to is just about 3 miles southwest of the grounds of the museum, and it's the Thompson Barn. So Frank Thompson himself built his own barn out of concrete blocks. Last time I was there, it was looking kind of shaky, like it wasn't probably long for this world. But it's really quite an impressive look at sort of local building technology at work.
And there's an old schoolhouse as well.
Well, again, one of my personal fascinations are one-room schoolhouses, and most of them closed in the 1960s. But many of them are still around the landscape. You can go around and see them turned into people's homes, turned into granaries. Sometimes they're just abandoned. And in this particular case, that's what's happened. So the Ravenshoe School building, which is about 2 miles west of the museum, it was built in 1904. So it's a little over a century old. And it operated off and on. It closed at times when there weren't enough students to keep it open, but it finally closed in the 1960s, 1962, and then students were bused into Austin. But the building, the one-room schoolhouse, is still there, and if you want to see what it would have been like to go to a one-room schoolhouse, Ravenshoe would be the way to do it.
All right, we save the best to last, in my opinion. What do you have last on this list?
Well, this is actually a monument to, I think, a remarkable woman. Not far from Austin. Again, it's about 9 miles southwest of Austin on the edge of a place called Jackson Lake. There is a little monument shaped sort of like a little pyramid, and it's dedicated to a woman named Anne Collier. Now Anne was a woman who was an entrepreneur. She and her husband ran a little service station and a restaurant at Austin for a number of years. When they retired, though, is when she really began to be active. She became a historian. She wrote, for example, a book on the history of the Austin area. Maybe more significantly, she later moved to Portage la Prairie and wrote what is still considered to be sort of the definitive history of Portage la Prairie. But in 1970, she participated in a contest that was held to find the provincial centennial song. And in fact, she wrote the lyrics to the centennial song.
You're going to sing it for us? Or?
Oh, I don't think I'd punish you that way.
Well, maybe we should have a listen. We found a clip of it. That's so cool. She wrote the lyrics to that song?
She did, along with a musician named Gordon Watson. And that particular recording is a historic one as well. It was done by a group called The Fifth. So deep musical roots there.
I like a little musical interlude in a band in Manitoba. We should have more of those. Now, if people are wanting to go to Austin, but they've never been before, what's the route from Winnipeg?
Well, pretty easy. Say you get on the Trans-Canada Highway, you go straight west, you skirt around Portage la Prairie on the bypass road around Portage, keep going. You'll eventually see the sign saying Austin. You turn off at Austin. It's not in Austin itself, the museum. It's about 2 miles south. And it's on a good highway, the Highway 34. You'll see a big sign saying Manitoba Agricultural Museum. It's a wonderful day. I would strongly encourage anybody who's interested in just learning about Manitoba to check it out.
Gordon, thanks so much for this. And you're going to be back again next week for another road trip.
Yes, indeed. Of course, we're coming up to the National Ukrainian Festival in Dauphin. So I thought, let's explore some of the lesser known historic sites around Dauphin.
Perfect. Gordon, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.